Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us again this week on another episode of On Point. I'm Nicole today, A. Trey, and with me holding the mic down is
B.
And what we're going to do is make sure that everybody kind of gets on board with this. Today, what we want to do is, so we're going to speak on our segment. In the know. And the topic is, what the hell happened to the family? That's our question. What did happen to her? And let's look at it. I'm going to give you this quote. Blessed is a man that has everything, and a man truly has everything if he has a family. And that's not so much just as the biological sense, but that's the one we're going off of today, is the biological sense. And if we look into the meat of the statement, we'll find holes big enough to drive, especially if we use it as a measuring stick to make comparisons of today's 21st century families to those of the 19th and 20th century family. And it leaves us to ask the question, where the hell has the family gone? And better yet, what do we do to bring it back? Back to a point where it has some resemblance to and of where it once was, healthy, loving, respectful, and unified. So today we're going to ask those questions. We'd love for you to call in and hear your point of view, too. 347-855-8662.
Yes. 855-8662 is the phone number, 347 area code. We are looking at the breakdown of the family. Where has it gone? And so Trey and I are going to discuss, look at the family as a whole. You know, who is head of household versus who's probably head of household right now. As most of us know, there are more households being run by the female rather than the male. And so we want to look at, how do we get it back to the male being head of household? Why is he missing?
Or better yet, get it back to where the household was run together. They said that 35% of more people or more children in the household, 35% of the children in the household that have a visiting parent, a visiting mom or a visiting dad, are more likely to have problems in school, become antisocial, withdrawn, become affiliated.
They act out more.
Become affiliated with more negative sources and so forth. And the question is, what do we do to bring that family value, that family unit back? How do we make that work? So what's your idea, Ms. Z? What's your idea?
Well, I think, honestly, if we look back at history, we can see where the breakdown came in when families were being torn apart back in the days of slavery, when the male figure of the household was usually the one being taken away from his family, and then his children were sold, and then that breakdown just kind of went on through history. So it all started back from the days of slavery. We can look back as far as those slavery days and see that. And then the woman was always, you know, taken away and used as the housemaid and to nurse the children of the master, and just so many things were done to that family, you know, across history. And so fast forward to today, that trend is still, it still hasn't been repaired. You know, true enough, there is a great percentage of males who are active in their home, who are doing the job of the father, who are taking responsibility for their families, who are providing, but a large percentage of that circle today, the male isn't there. And so we need to look at, how do we pull those families back together?
The U.S. Center, if I can intervene, the U.S. Center for Marriage and Family released and studied back in November of 2005. It shows that the broken family structures consistently lead to education difficulties or failures for children. They said, according to them, when it comes to educational achievement, the study says that children living with their own married parents do significantly better. And I tend to agree with that because of the fact that, and this isn't just a black thing, and it's not a white thing, and it's not a Mexican thing. It's a family thing. And one of the oldest sayings or cliches is, it takes a village to raise a family. That is so true, but we've gotten so far away from it because you got people nowadays that don't give a damn about anybody else's home but their own. And I'm like, you don't understand. If you take care of the homes in your neighborhood, then you're taking care of your home too. By watching your entire neighborhood, you're making sure that everything inside your home is okay, that the communication, lines of communication are okay, that your neighbors respect you, that everything there is okay, that when your children are outside, they'll be okay, that other people in your area, your vicinity, your community will look to say, oh, that right there, that's the Johnson's kids, that's the Washington's kids, that's the Salam's kids, they are okay. And we've gotten so far away from that, it's pathetic. This study had a comprehensive review of recent academic research on the relationship between family structures and children's academic performance, and it compared education outcomes from children growing up with their own married parents or parents, a couple that stayed together. And that works. There are a lot of famous people that are not married, but they stay together and they work together for their children as well as themselves. And it works. They're saying that married parents to children in non-intact family structures, such as divorced or single, remarried or cohabitating. I'm going to remove cohabitating because to have them there together works. It says consistently found to be a deciding factor in a wide range of childhood behaviors that directly influence academic performance, emotional performance, psychological distress, their attention disorders, social behaviors, substance abuse, sexual activity, teen pregnancy. Children from non-intact families or homes, as they call it, had higher rates of stress, depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, and particularly in teenagers. And nowadays, suicide is high. These kids don't have to pay rent. They don't have to make a car note. They don't have to pay car insurance. They don't have to pay the electric. They don't have to pay the water. They don't have to buy groceries. Their problems, their issues are minimal, but to them, they're astronomically large. And the first place that they want to come home to, or they want to come to, is those people that they believe can handle anything. That's their parent, because they see them. But if you got one there that's working all the time and she's never home, or you got one there that's working all the time and he's never home, then they have to find those outside sources, and so begins the breakdown of the family, the family unit. And now you got people, when I was small, if I did something on the block, best believe every other parent on the block was watching. Mm-hmm. If I broke Mrs. Johnson's window, Mrs. Johnson snatched me up. You know, she snatched me up and pat me on the behind, smack me on the back of the forehead, took me home, told me, hey, I just saw a little tray throw a rock at that window. So I got smacked up on the way home. Then when I got home, and God forbid they dropped me off my grandparents, they kicked my butt. Then they told my mom, and my mom kicked my butt because her parents had to kick my butt. And I didn't throw rocks anymore, at least not on my block.
Okay, so but that's the village doing their part. That's the village doing their part. We need to get back to where is the core person in that circle, which should be the head of household, which is the father. He seems to be the person that's missing in today's household. So we need to get back to finding out where his role is and why he's not as effective as he should be.
But do you think it's just the father? Couldn't it be the mom too? I mean, you got a lot of single moms out there, and a lot of single moms are doing it by choice. They'll tell you quick, I don't need a damn man. I don't need all the ass of Rabbi Fabulous.
Oh, they're wrong. They're wrong.
Well,
they need a man, especially if you are raising a young man. You need that man there. You need him there. Yes, you do. So I will say that for any woman that has ever said, I don't need no man, yes, you do. Raising a child by yourself, while it can be doable, it is not always as easy as most people might think it'll be.
Well,
and so,
see, that it's that mindset. It's that mindset. People believe what they like. And, yes, the man should run the household, or he should co-run the household. And co-parenting is the thing that's supposed to happen. You got these kids outside today, a lot of fathers and moms too. A little girl, a mother sees a female and walking the street. She got a crop top on. She got blue hair and crazy amount of makeup on, and she's 12. She's just seen a girl drop a mother drop her off in a nice little poodle skirt, you know, and some hush puppies. Okay, so that's outdated. But she just dropped her off with some new J's and some jeans and a nice little jacket on. And she was cool. And then her mom drives away, and then we see her turn into all this mess. Just poof. And you know what?
What?
That mother that just saw that won't say a damn thing. And I'm wondering, is it because they're afraid of what the kid will say? I think that the parent's job, every parent's job, is to make a kid think. Because they turn into the adults that we are needing them to be. Those new doctors, those new engineers, those new musicians, those new construction people, those new water plant treatment engineers, you know, they're turning into those people, those new teachers who are dropping off by the dozens, by the way, you know. And
mm-hmm.
fathers, you see boys acting a fool in the street.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got a lot to say when they walk away, but you don't say nothing. I'll tell a kid quick, hey, why are you acting like that? Is that how you represent in your home? Now you rep your house, your mom, your dad. Don't you know that right now in these streets, you're being watched?
Yeah, kids are so easily influenced by the things that are happening in the world today, though. And it's a shame that those influences in the world are stronger than the influences of the home, you know? So I don't know.
That's derived from? What do you think that's attributed to? Why do you think that the home is so much less influential now?
In today's world, for one, because of all the visual things that they have to look at, everything that comes in on TV, we have social media that's contributing to that, we have what's going on at school contributing to that, and kids are very bigly influenced by what trends are happening today. They are very influenced by what they see. All these different hair colors and pants sagging and what's the latest dance craze. And the influences are all around. And so it goes back to what are they being allowed to see at home, you know, because they don't see, I think a lot of kids don't see their parents as the role models that they really are. You know, they're so more influenced by what's being shown on TV. You know,
if you have an opinion out there, I'm sorry, if you have an opinion and you want something to say, you know, if you feel like you want some input on this, 347-855-8662, we'd love to hear your voice. On what you were saying, those are outside influences, but what about home? What does home do? Because I look at it, and parents now, to me, have slipped into friendship mode. I think a lot of parents have said, to hell with being a parent. I just want to be my kid's friend. And I mean, you got 7 billion people in the world that are going to be icy cold, harsh, or just very domineering or demonstrative in things that they do on a negative level, and then and demonizing and hardcore. You got 7 billion people in the world. I think 2 of those people should be their damn parents, not their friends. You know,
I think part of it is the parents are doing part of the job. We're doing half the job. You know, to your point, Trey. I think those parents who are in that situation, they're doing part of the job. They're putting more value on being a friend to the kid more so than being the parent. And so when that happens, it usually means that the parent is either not showing them like what hard work looks like, you know, what it is to get up and go to work every day. And then kids, too, they don't have the mindset that their parents can be fun. When they see a parent that's hardworking, they're getting up, they're going to work, they're paying bills, they're making sure the kid's okay, taking them to doctor's appointment, meeting with teachers, and doing that. I think kids look at those kinds of parents as boring. And it's like, no, they're doing their job. They're making sure that you are going to be okay. Now, then you have that other group of parents that's just like, I got to go to the club. I got to go get my drink. Oh, it's the weekend. I'm ready to turn up. You know, when that mentality kicks in, then the kid says, hey, my parents are cool. They're then looked at as, my parents are cool. My mom still goes to the club. And even every now and then, she'll smoke a little. No.
So you think that you're thinking that the family structure broke down because parents have taken the route of being non-parents.
Right. They're choosing the role of being the friend to the parent more so than the parent role.
You mean friend to the kid? I got you.
I mean, yes,
but
friend to the kid.
Here's my thing. Grandparents, get involved. And you got people listening right now, and those people, and we appreciate you guys joining us back. Here's something. If you're a grandparent, tell your kids, I'm going to be a grandparent. Yeah, it's wonderful. You get to have to take them places and do stuff, and you spend money and blah, blah, blah. But my grandparents taught me values. You know, if I went outside, they said, hey, before you cross the street, look both ways. You know, and hey, you can't walk out the house with your behind showing. And hey,
right.
Your hands are ashy, you know. My nana said, hey, you know, you got to keep your nails clean. Did you wash behind your ears? What? That's stupid. Right behind your ear right now. I know somebody doing it right now. Now sniff that. That's some nasty shit, man. But my thing was is they taught us stuff. They taught us stuff. And then they put you in check. And then they told your parents, next time that boy do something like that, I'm going to just knock fire from him. Knock fire. And I'm like, that's your job. The grand parent is supposed to make sure that what mommy and daddy are trying to instill is adhered to. We love them. We love to play with them and all that's wonderful. And we spoil them rotten because we can give them back. We don't got to deal with it. But the structure for grandparents has to be there. And now grandparents are starting out at the age of 30. Whew. 30-year-old grandfather, 30-year-old grandmother, you can't teach me ish, you know, because you're still playing your damn self.
But right.
Since you're in the role, you might as well do it right. Be constructive, be supportive. And you parents, you new parents, if your parents did something that made you a good person, if you find your flaws that you shouldn't have done when you were younger, and your parents let you get away with it, replace stuff. Replace ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your mom let you drink in the house and you know that wasn't cool, don't let your kids drink in the house. Replace it. If your parents kicked your behind, but it kept you from stealing, kick your kids behind. Keep it. Keep it
or replace it. That's it. And never take away from things that made you a better man or a better woman, a better adult, a better parent, that can make you a better parent. That is learning. That's what our family is for. That's what lineage is for. That's what family is built upon. And get out and get to know your damn neighbors. If they got kids and you got kids and they'll be playing, especially if they're different, they're different ethnicity. Hey, take Bonquisha down the street so she can meet little Shaquita and Gabriella, you know, and Angelica and Bunny and Blaine, you know. Let them meet. And don't be afraid to tell your kids no. They're missing. Nowadays, no is a forbidden word. And I think that we've gotten so far away from the moral compass in life where everything is so damn acceptable, we don't have anything structurally sound for our kids to learn from. It's no longer immoral for a boy to kiss another boy. It's no longer immoral for a girl to kiss another girl. It's no longer immoral to smoke, to get high in public. It's no longer immoral. And I'm like, wait a minute. If all these damn immoral things are now socially acceptable, who in the hell can tell a kid what's right and what's wrong? Right. A kid goes and hits a guy in the head and takes his wallet and he says, well, you know, it's just stand your ground rule, dude. You know, I was on the ground, he was on the ground, I stood there, so, you know. So that's what happened.
Yeah, it's just making it more and more confusing or difficult to know, so to speak, the difference between right and wrong now. And there should never be a blurred line of that. Everybody should know the difference between what's right and what's wrong.
They got something on the law books now. It's called affluenza. That's no ish. A kid, 17 years old, drunker than alcohol, he was actually high, hit another set of people, killed them, and he didn't. And they said the courts found that he was innocent because he was so affluent, or his parents are so affluent, that he didn't possibly know what was right from wrong.
Yeah.
How can you be so damn rich that you don't know what's right from wrong?
That's ridiculousness.
You put your hand in you put your hand on the stove and you leave it there. Just leave it there. Don't move it, no matter how much pain. And just let it seep in first. Let it sizzle. Dude, sizzler. Yeah, let that happen. And you'll know quickly this is the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
You know peeing on the floor when you get in the bathroom ain't right. I don't care how rich or how poor you are. You know that peeing on the floor in the bathroom ain't right. You know dropping a deuce in your pants ain't right. So how much money does it take for you to determine, let me see, if I drop this particular turd in my particular pants, could this be wrong or right? I'm just curious. Affluenza. And that just lends credence to the fact that I was saying we've lost our moral compass in America. You're making so much ish acceptable. LGBT, y'all just piss poor, pathetic, sorry, and nasty. You're allowing everything. You're filing suits against stuff that just shouldn't happen. You know, I can't wear my hair. I can't wear a wig while I have a mustache, and that's no. Damn it, you can't. So you come home. A kid sees it, and they think that's socially acceptable. The NRA, nobody's telling you can't have a damn gun. They're saying that you should control how guns are being sold. But you've got a problem with that. So the next time some kid goes to a gun show, picks up a gun, doesn't have ID, because they just showed that on 2020, picks up a gun, no ID, comes in, pops five inside somebody at a school, don't be pissed off because the kid shot everybody. Be pissed off at the fact that he had accessibility to it. The moral compass has been almost obliterated. Moral fiber has damn near been dissipated. That's what's hurting the American family. That's what's hurting the family. And that transcends color lines. It just does.
Yeah, when you look at television shows like Leave It to Beaver and My Three Sons, and you go back to the days, and you look at how those people were dressed, when they exemplify people who were working class citizens, they were dressed going to work. They were dressed if they were going to the mall, you know. And I'm not saying that we need to take it to those extremes in today's day and age, but the workplace is supposed to be a place of representation where you look like you are employed. There should be a standard there. If the standard is that you have to come in, you have to look presentable. If they say, oh, we have a business dress form, that means you have to wear a nice shirt with your pants, with a pair of pants that are pulled up with dress shoes, then that should be the standard that everybody should have to follow, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. When we get to a point where employers are saying, oh, it's okay for a cross-dresser to come dress in his cross-dress garb, that is crazy to me. No.
I agree.
No, that's crazy to me because I don't ever want to see him walk into the woman's bathroom.
And now they've made that an issue. They've made that an issue. And that comes back to your family. And, you know, listen, I don't care what you do behind closed doors. Understand this. I do not give a damn what you do behind closed doors. Because me, I'm into whipped cream, you know, in the banana suit. And every now and then I like, you know, to do things with licorice between my toes. That's just my own. That's my own thing. But my thing is, if I went to work and I had some whipped cream on my chest and some licorice between my toes, and I had on a banana suit and I sat down and I started talking to people, and people around me became uncomfortable. The first thing they do, what are you doing? And I said, no, you can't tell me I can't do this here because I'm a person. Damn it. And oh, wait, yes, you are a person. But in this particular business, your particular persona is not acceptable. You got to deal with that. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. You know, if that, and what people are forgetting is that job is a privilege. It's owned by someone else. And if they don't want that at their particular place, it doesn't have to happen. You heard of no shoes, no shot, no shirt, no service? It's the same damn thing. Dude, you can't go to work with a blonde wig on and a skirt and still talk about, yeah, man, that game was, that mug was off the chain last night. You can't come to work like that. Female can't come to work dressed like a dude. It just dressed like a dude. They say, look, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to be ladylike about it because that's the face of my company. And the thing is, all of that reflects back on home. If you stop it at home, it doesn't hit the streets.
True.
So we're going to wrap with our final thoughts. And it goes like this. It goes like this. Family is more than just a bloodline. Family is all those we keep around us that make us better. Family is the preservation of a lineage that makes our community better, that makes us stronger, that makes us go forward without ever allowing us to fail. That's my definition of family. I hope you got one. I do. Look, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, and remember, every idea is grand, every thought is warranted, and for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, I hope and pray that they're always on point.
On point.